How dangerous is it to love the things of the world? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there, welcome. Come on in. Make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. Boy, I had an interesting evening tonight. If you're somebody who listens to the program relatively early in the evening, you probably realize that I'm late tonight. But if you listen to it the following day, you probably don't realize that. But I'm going to share my story anyway. Earlier today, I was taking care of some health insurance business. I was at my insurance provider, switching my plan for next year, and I got an interesting email. I got an email alert saying that some suspicious activity was noted in regard to my credit account. Now, what happened was in my credit report. I'm sorry. Earlier this year, you've been hearing about these data breaches. They've been happening all over the place. Well, one of them affected my healthcare provider, and as a result, I was able to get a credit monitoring service for 2 years free of charge, which was a good thing. It's bad that it happened, but I'm really glad I had this monitoring service. So what happens is, anytime something unusual happens affecting my credit report, I get an email. Well, this never happened before. I got an email today while I'm at the healthcare office saying that you might want to check this, might not be a big deal, but something could be going on. So to make a long story short, I checked it, and here somebody was trying to open an account. It was a mobile phone account, opened up with my information, and they had asked for my credit report. So, you know, it's pretty scary that this kind of thing can happen, I'll tell you. So I was on the phone most of the day, and fortunately, because I got this alert, we were able to jump on top of this thing really quickly. So, and you know, it really is a scary thing, because when I called the phone company about the issue, whoever tried to open up this account had my social security number and my date of birth. I mean, it's really scary. They were trying to be me. But so we managed to get that taken care of, and then I was able to quickly, and I reached out on Facebook. So if you prayed for me when I reached out about this, I thank you, because the prayers helped a great deal. Things seemed to fall into place. I got the right people on the phone. There's still a few steps that I have to take, but I think I'm going to be okay. I think we got this so quickly that I was able to tie down the things that needed to be tied down and protect myself. But man, it is a scary thing. So as a result, I'm doing the show late tonight. And for the first time ever, I think this might be the first time ever, I am going beverageless. Yes, I don't even have a glass of water today. So say a prayer that we can make it through the entire show. But I hope you have a beverage. I hope you have a snack. You know, this is, and it's really, I don't like going through these things, these unexpected things that happen that can disrupt our peace, that we don't expect, that can really drive us crazy. But it was really good that my daughter Elizabeth thought, as I was in the midst of really getting this stuff worked out, she said, well, why don't we just say a prayer, which is the very first thing we should do. But you know as well as I do, a lot of times when we get involved in these situations, one of the first things that happens is we panic and we run around like chickens with our heads cut off, and we forget to say a prayer. But it really is, it's something that I always try to do, and my whole family and I, we said a prayer, and things did go a lot smoother than if I didn't say a prayer. So remember that the next time something unsettling happens, and we have these things that, they may be different, but these things just seem to happen every day or every other day or frequently, things that we don't expect that can easily just take our peace away, because we start to panic. Stop and say a prayer. Let the Lord start getting to work. And I think you'll find that not only will your peace be there, because he's going to help you, and he's going to give you the peace that you need, but he's also very good at fixing problems. So it's always good to ask him to help out, no matter what it is. If it's a problem at the office, if it's a problem with finances, if it's a problem with something like this, if it's a health issue, whatever it is, Just stop and say, Lord, can you please help me with this? You can use whatever words you want. And I've always found that he does a really good job. He does a really good job because he can handle these things. So very, very important to do that. Again, if you prayed for me, I thank you. And if you could continue to say a few more prayers, I would appreciate it because it's not over yet. It's not over yet, and I still have to make sure that that I can tie down some of these loose ends. But if you want to say a prayer, I would greatly appreciate it. Today's program, we're going to talk about, I'm just going to stick to the readings today. We'll chat a little bit about the readings for this program, the readings from the seventh day, or this the sixth day within the octave of the Nativity of the Lord, sixth day of Christmas. And this first reading from St. John in particular, such a powerful reading that I just want to reflect on some of these concepts, especially about loving the things of the world. Let's face it, it's a problem. It's a huge problem in our lives, and I think many times we don't even realize just how much we love the things of the world. And this is something that I'm trying to work on, and again, it's sometimes almost transparent. We don't even realize we're doing it, and we just seek comfort so much that we are afraid to be uncomfortable. And that hurts us because we cling to the things of the world and we are really at odds with following Christ. If I'm clinging to the things of the world, then I can't be doing a good job following Christ, even though I think I am. And I'll tell you what, the Lord has a way of really challenging us. The closer you grow to him, I'm sure you may have realized this, or you will realize it, the closer you get to the Lord, the more he is going to ask you to leave these things that keep you away from him. It doesn't mean you have to sell your house and just give up all of your possessions, but what it means is you have to lose this attachment, this inordinate attachment, which is what it can become, to things, and be so afraid to lose what you have, to possibly lose your possessions, or to step out of your comfort zone, to become so afraid of that happening that you fail to run to the Lord, or you fail to grow closer to him. Because it really does take a risk. It involves a risk when you grow closer to the Lord. You can't love him and the things of the world at the same time. It just can't be done. Or else something's going to suffer. Either your relationship with the Lord will suffer, or your relationship with your possessions or people or comfort, whatever it may be. Something's going to suffer, and ultimately we have to make a decision. The decision that brings peace is the Lord, is deciding to grow close to him. That's what I'm finding. But it is, as are so many of the things involving the spiritual life, it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. And we can gradually move away from attachment to the things of the world and move closer to the Lord. But it is absolutely worth it. And I think this is one of the things that I'm going to focus on in my own life in the upcoming year, is to try to break free from some of the attachments that I have. I don't have as many as I used to, but I still have some, and I don't like that. I want to grow closer to Jesus. I really want to. I want to do that. So you're going to be hearing more about that on the program this year. We're going to use some of Lent to do that. Hope you'll be able to join me, because God willing, I plan to do a Lenten retreat again this year. And we're going to try to grow closer to Christ during the Lenten season. So that's what we have in store. We'll do that. We'll do these meditations. And tomorrow we'll do a New Year's Eve program. We'll reflect on the close of the year. You know, this is the time to really take stock of where you are, to look at your life, to see what you've accomplished in terms of your relationship with Christ, and where are you going to go next year? How are you going to head into the new year? How do you plan to grow closer to him? I know we focused on doing this during Advent, but we really don't want to let it stop there. We want to keep growing closer to Christ and do whatever we have to do to make that possible. And that's something we will take into the new year. And when you close out the old year, you move into the new year, this is the perfect time to reflect on, well, how did I do last year? How did I make out last year? What can I change in the upcoming year to do a better job? And if we do that, if we continue to do that, we're going to be in good shape. Something you always want to work on. You just don't want to do it one time in your life. You want to continually work on that, what you can do to grow closer to our Lord. All right, does that sound good? So I hope you'll join me. You know, I always say, God willing, I plan to be here. We'll see what happens. If you can join me, I would love to have you. If you're a new listener to this program, I'm going to welcome you. My name is Gary Zimak. We do this program every Monday through Friday evening on Blog Talk Radio. You can download the podcasts either directly from blogtalkradio.com. You can listen to the last 5 episodes by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can download the podcast from iTunes. No matter how you do it, you can get it free of charge. There is no cost. It's going to be absolutely free. And one of the reasons that I'm able to bring you this program free is because I have some advertising on my website, and if you're able to help me out, we can keep this program free. You can keep me in full-time ministry, and again, I'm very appreciative of your support. From followingthetruth.com, if you are somebody who shops on amazon.com, if you would just use the link, the Amazon link that you can find on any of the pages of my website, you click on that link, it'll take you into amazon.com, but the fact that you came from my website results in a very small but meaningful commission for any purchase that you make. So if you're going to buy a book from Amazon, if you would just use that link, and again, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com. You'll see an Amazon image on the right-hand side. You might have to scroll down a little bit. It's pretty big. I don't think you can miss it. You click on that, and you're in Amazon. Nothing is different. It's just the fact that you got there from my website, and that's what they look at. The other thing you could do, especially if you're a coffee lover, if you know somebody who loves coffee, is to purchase Mystic Monk Coffee from my website as well, followingthetruth.com. Just take a look for the Mystic Monk image. I believe it's right above the Amazon link. And then the other thing you can do, and I still need an increase in donations, is to become a sponsor, a financial sponsor of my show. I could really use some monthly sponsors, some additional monthly sponsors. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and make a secure donation. It is secure through PayPal. You can either make a one-time donation or you can become a monthly sponsor. And the monthly sponsorship, it is not a big deal. Not a big deal at all to do that. And you can cancel it at any time. So these are the ways you can help me and keep me going at full-time ministry. And I assume that if you listen to the show, you like the work that I do. You know, I really don't like to talk about it. I've discussed this with you in the past. I don't like to ask for money, but this is one of the ways I keep my ministry going. It's one of the reasons I keep this program free. This program, I always want it to be free, and I'll do whatever I can to keep it free. And you can help me with that. So I thank you in advance for that. Know that you're in my prayers, and I would ask you to pray for me, for my family, for my work, and I would greatly appreciate that as well. Finally, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your parish, I'm currently working on bookings for 2016, and I'll also accept bookings for 2017 if you're interested. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can go to the speaking page to get an idea about the talks that I give. I'm primarily known for my work on helping individuals to overcome anxiety. That's my thing. And I can talk about a number of other topics as well. So if you want to bring me into your parish, look at the topics, contact me. You can either contact me through the contact page on the website, or you can email me directly at followingthetruth.com. All right, that's it for business. Let's pray, and then we'll get to these readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. You've given us the blessing of a new day. You've given us a Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to earth, for letting him redeem us. Help us to continue to follow him each day. Father, help those who are sick, those who might be anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with scrupulosity, those who might be dealing with addictions, those who might be dealing with financial problems, those who are experiencing religious persecution, as well as those who are suffering due to the extreme weather conditions around the world. I also ask you, Father, to help us with our own personal needs, intentions, things that just really distract us. Help us with those because we know you can handle them for us. And I also ask you, Father, to speak through me on this program. I give this program to you. I ask you to speak through me and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's get started. Let's take a look at these readings. Wednesday, December the 30th, the sixth day within the octave of Christmas. We're still in the octave of Christmas. We are still in the Christmas season. Now, just as a reminder, the rest of this week, we're going to stay Christmas, keep our Christmas theme. Next week, we're going to go back to our daily themes. You're going to have scripture every day. Don't worry about that. I'll still do the daily mass readings. And either tomorrow or on Friday, yeah, we're going to do a show on New Year's Day this year. I'll reveal the themes that we'll be using. We have a different theme Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some of them will be the ones we've used in the past, but at least one will be different. And also in the weeks to come, I want you to stay tuned because I'm going to let you know what the Lenten retreat will be all about. I have a book in mind that I want to use this year, and I'm excited to share it with you. So I think that's what we'll be doing, okay? Stay tuned for more information. Let's look at these readings now. The first reading, once again, St. John gets out the old sledgehammer and he hits us right between the eyes with it. I mean, it is powerful. First letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Now, you know, it's funny. John starts this passage starts out with seemingly a series of comments about who he is addressing this to. So we can always kind of get lulled to sleep a little bit, you know, as you hear the beginning of this letter. But man, does he come out swinging after that. Do not love the world or the things of the world. That doesn't mean you can't appreciate possessions. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate people. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate or have joy in this life, because you can. But John goes on to say, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is powerful. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Now, you might start to get a little nervous there when you hear that, don't you? You think, well, how do I know? How do I know if I'm loving the world? St. John goes on to address this, and he explains this a bit more in depth. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So he explains it a little more in depth. And yes, there are many temptations in the world. There are many distractions for us. And I think it only becomes a problem if you really love and desire the things of the world at the expense of loving and desiring the Lord and the things of heaven. So if you're solely living for material things, if that's all you care about, if you want to get all your enjoyment in this life, and that's really what you care about in this life, then you have a problem. It doesn't mean that you can't appreciate. Doesn't mean that you can't appreciate the things God gives you in this life. He gives us many blessings. There are many good things in the world. There are many good things in the world. And it's fine, but you don't want these things to take precedence over your relationship with the Lord. If you're so busy trying to accumulate money and possessions that you don't spend any time with the Lord in prayer, if you're not willing to share what you have with those in need, if you're not willing to trust Him to step out in faith, you know, this is where these things become a problem. And really, only you will know in your life if you've crossed the line. I think with a lot of us, it's something we do from time to time. It's not like we get to a point where we no longer care about the things of the world. We're going to be okay for the rest of our lives. I don't think it works that way. I know in my life it doesn't. I have these attachments that for some time I might move away from them and be okay, just treating them as temporary possessions, you know, because we can't. And I think that's part of the secret, because we have to realize that anything we have in this life, any enjoyment that we have, it's temporary. It's not heaven. Heaven lasts forever. And then, you know, St. John talks about that very subject. He says, "Yet the world and its enticement are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever." I really think that's the secret to understanding, or to putting things in perspective, is to remember that any enjoyment in this life, anything that exists in the world right now, it will pass away. It is not permanent. It's temporary. And I think that really puts things into perspective. I know it helps me. But now, do you think of that naturally? No, you don't. Most of us don't. It takes work to think about that. We've got to spend a little time really thinking about that. We have to spend time with the Lord. Because the other thing is, the more we get to know Christ, the more we get to know Him personally, the more we grow close to Him, the more we're going to desire Him. This is something a lot of us don't realize, but a relationship with the Lord is truly the one thing that we need in life. It's one thing that we absolutely need. It's really the source of all our happiness. If you're unhappy and if you're searching for happiness, you're really searching for the Lord, even though you might not realize it. We try to make ourselves happy by looking for any number of different things. But in reality, if we're unhappy, if we need joy in our life, we need the Lord. I know it sounds hokey, but it's absolutely 100% true. And this is something, you know, you're not going to learn this overnight. We need to work on this, and this is a long-term project. So look, we got time. We have the rest of our lives. We have as many days as the Lord gives us on this earth. But we need to start today. We need to take this seriously. We need to take these words seriously. The Lord spoke to me as I was reading these words. Do not love the world or the things of the world. Understand that they're passing. They're temporary. You could appreciate them, but you don't really want to love them. You know, and that's the type of thing that we really want to keep in mind when it comes to, when we look at this reading, we want to be reminded that it's okay to appreciate things. But when things or your main goal in life, when enjoyment in this world is really what you're living for, then you have a problem. That needs some correction. Let's take a look at the Psalm, responsorial Psalm, Psalm 96. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Give to the Lord, you families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring gifts and enter His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. He governs the peoples with equity. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Bring gifts. Enter His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. I think one of the greatest things that has helped me is to every morning, I start off my prayer with praise. And I write this down. I've actually started to journal. I mentioned this to you before. I started to journal. I have a notebook, just a little cheap notebook. And every morning I sit with the Lord and I have breakfast and I write Him a letter. Good morning, Lord. And I thank him. I thank him for the blessings in my life. I praise him for his magnificence. I mean, he's pretty cool. I'll tell you that much. He's powerful. He can do all things. And by doing that, first of all, he deserves that. He deserves that kind of respect. He deserves that kind of praise. He deserves that kind of adulation. But he doesn't need it. He's God. He doesn't need me to tell him how great he is. Because you have to understand, God doesn't change. He's not happy one day, sad the next. I can't make him happier. I don't want to get too deep here, but I can't make God happier by anything I do, because God is perfectly happy because he's God. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. But really, when I do that, when I reflect on the Lord's glory, his power, his might, his loving kindness, his mercy, all of the many attributes, the fact that he created the universe out of nothing, when I reflect on that, what I do is I begin to feel his power, and I begin to have a lot more confidence in him, and I'm more grateful as well. So by praising him, by acknowledging his greatness, that helps me more than it helps him. Again, I'm doing it because he deserves it, because he really is all-powerful, and he is incredible. But the real benefit comes in the way that that affects me. Let's look at the Gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is a reminder, a couple of neat things here. The prophetess Anna, a very holy lady who hung out in the temple. Never left the temple, worshiped day and night with fasting and prayer. I'll tell you what, this Anna, she's a good example for us. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting of the redemption of Jerusalem. People were waiting for the Messiah for years and years. Anna and Simeon were both in the temple when Jesus was presented by his parents, Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. They were given a privilege to be there, to get a glimpse of the Messiah. We don't know how many years Anna lived. She lived as a widow. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. Okay, so I guess she lived until 84. She was, and that was elderly at the time. Nowadays, it's not. I mean, people live longer than they did back in the time of our Lord. But Anna was blessed for being so holy, for being so dedicated. And if you notice, she gave thanks to God for being able to see the Messiah. Again, here's that example of giving praise, giving thanks to the Lord. And she spoke about him. She evangelized. Isn't that neat? And then we hear about the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law, because that's why they were there. They returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. That's Jesus, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So really, you know, another point that we want to get from this reading is that Jesus lived a very obscure life. From most of his life was lived in obscurity. For approximately 30 of his 33 years, he lived an unknown life. Nobody knew about him. He was the carpenter's son. He lived in Nazareth, which was a nothing town. It was a town that was not thought of very highly. There is something to be said for living an ordinary life, for going to work every day, for doing a good job. You know, what you're doing with your life is exactly what the Lord wants you to do. So you can find holiness in the everyday, the mundane tasks of a daily life. All right, does that sound good? Well, guess what? We are out of time. Remember, be careful about loving the things of the world. Ask the Lord to let you know if you're a little out of balance there. God willing, we're going to see you tomorrow night for our New Year's Eve show. I hope you'll join me. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for listening.